The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a warm welcome along to the William Hill Daily Racing Podcast. You're tuned into Monday's edition of the podcast where we've got racing from Kelso, Redcar and Windsor. There's also an evening meeting from Tramore. And of course, you'll hear it all live from 1:30pm on William Hill's Racing Radio with Sean Quinn, John Budden and James Millman in the studio to guide you through all of the action. But before all that, my name is Sam Norris and joining me on the podcast today is John Budden to take a look at some of the action and to reflect on a fantastic weekend at Aintree. How are you today, John?
Well, a little bit poor, us. Yeah. But otherwise, in very good shape indeed. And, tremendous Aintree 3 days. There's no doubt about that. Blessed with weather, excellent ground. The starts were also splendid as well. Mm. Not just the Grand National, but throughout the 3 days. Great festival.
Yeah, it certainly was. 3 days of fantastic action. We'll start with the Grand National, John. Obviously, won by many clouds at odds of 25-1. A second successive Grand National win for Leighton Aspel. 3 Grand National wins for Trevor Hemmings. But he booked a few of the trends, didn't he, Many Clouds?
He certainly did. He certainly bucked my trend, which is a great pity because I've been a tremendous follower of Many Clouds throughout the season. Right back in November when he won the Colin Parker Memorial at Carlisle, beating, of course, Edouard, my favourite horse, and in third place, Holywell. Then on to win the Hennessy, a win again at Cheltenham on Trials Day. And then it rained just before the Gold Cup. Yeah. I thought, excellent. Many Clouds has got a grand chance of winning the Gold Cup. And I thought, Oliver Sherwood clearly did, and most of the supporters of Many Clouds as well. What happened? He ran an abysmal race. Yeah. Well, he ran very flat, didn't he? And then there was word about going for the Grand National. I thought, gracious me, he's had a hard race at Cheltenham in the Gold Cup, which, he didn't excel in. It's not very long before the Grand National. He's bound to have a very big weight. Surely this is a little bit of a hasty, perhaps unwise decision. How stupid one can be,
Well, It proves how tough the horse is, I suppose, doesn't it, to go from, I think, 29 days was the break between the Gold Cup and the Grand National. There wouldn't be many that would do that, is there, John?
There would not be many. I mean, Rough Silk was a placed horse in the Gold Cup before winning for Mickey Fitzgerald back in some way ago now. I thought he had a tremendous amount to do. So I think did punters, because, a fancied Gold Cup horse going off at 25-1 for the Grand National clearly showed that many people had doubts. Two things about it. I gather that Oliver Sherwood was not actually the man who made the decision for the horse to run at Aintree, that Trevor Hemmings and his racing manager, Michael Meagher, were, keen to run the horse. Ollie, I think, thought it needed another year before the Grand National. But there we are, jumped magnificently, stayed on really strongly, and Leighton Aspel, 2 successive wins. Tremendous performance for a jockey who, wouldn't be on everybody's lips as a fashionable rider. And Luke Elder, who was in the studio on Sunday, does actually know one or two of the lads down at Oliver Sherwood's stable. And interestingly enough, he said that the word there was that Many Clouds always had a little bit of a wobble when he came back in from his races. Just had to be looked after a bit in the unsaddling enclosure, only for about a few minutes, and then he recovered perfectly well. The only time, Sam, that he didn't do that little wobble was after he'd run poorly in the Gold Cup.
Very interesting stuff. As you mentioned there, Leighton Aspel, a place in the history books for him. There'll be a lot of jockeys that don't win 2 Grand Nationals, let alone win 2 back-to-back. We'll just touch on some of the place horses in the race. Saint Art ran a good race to come second and was pushing Many Clouds towards the conclusion. Monbeg Dude placing, Andy was hampered as well. And Alvarado back in fourth. What did you make of the three that followed him home?
I think they ran blinders, as they say in that cliche. Yeah. St. R, with Tom George now, had won well at Catterick in order to make certain he was going to get in the weights. Has always run pretty well at Aintree and ran a great race. And the connections would be delighted with him. I thought Wombeg Doob was terrific because you mentioned hampering. I was actually listening to the commentary en route to Leeds and emphasised by the commentator there that Wombeg Doob had been really hampered and dropped back, and to get so close was a tremendous effort. Alvarado again from a stable who do so well with Paul Maloney in the saddle. That was tremendous. And what about Shut the Front Door?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, forgot about him in fifth. He looked to be travelling quite well, but just got a bit one pace towards the end.
Yes, I think there are two possibilities there. One, basically, that he doesn't quite stay 4 miles.
Yeah.
And the other, that he possibly did need the race. There had been issues, hadn't there, in the sort of run-up to Aintree. And I was at Carlisle when Shut the Front Door actually ran his last race before Aintree. That was back in November. He won a graduation chase at Carlisle in very good style indeed. But, of course, that was over 3 miles, or just in addition over 3 miles. Hadn't run since. Would be excused, I think, for just needing the race on what was a fairly warm day and a race that was run at a pretty good gallop from the start. Looked to say he was definitely going to take a hand in the finish, as you say, three out, but then just ran out of puff.
Yeah, absolutely. No fairy tale finish for AP then in the National. Away from the big race, anything else really catch your eye for the 3 days at Aintree?
I thought the chases were tremendous. And very, very good win by Don Cossack for AP. That pleased me immensely because, as I've already mentioned, Sam, almost my favourite chaser is Nicky Richards's Edouard, who I thought ran a tremendous race to finish a close fourth in the Ryanair at Cheltenham.
And that would have boosted the form there, yeah?
It did boost the form, you know, because Don Cossack was just in front of him in third place. And then Edouard and Many Clouds are linked, of course, together. As well, on Carlisle form in the autumn. So really good advertisement for Edouard. I thought Don Cossack was excellent. Tremendous training performance by Paul Nicholls to get Sylvain Iacco Conte back in winning form. Grand ride by Noel Feeley.
Yeah.
And talking of jockeys, I do think Sam Tristan Davis is a very, very good jockey. Had no luck with Rocky Creek, which was rather expensive for me in the big race. Mm. But Saphir Daru was a very, very impressive winner, and that horse looks as though he's going to make, you know, a really Gold Cup possibility of the future.
Yeah, absolutely. A wonderful 3 days of action from Aintree then just capped off by that Grand National run from Many Clouds. But it's back to usual Monday fare for us now, John. We've got two races from Redcar to look ahead to, and then two from Kelso. We'll start with the action at Redcar. The first one of these comes up at 2:50. This is a 5 furlong seller, class 6, the grade 5 of them. Going down to contest it. Who do you like to look after?
Well, regular listeners will know that I'm a bit keen on sellers, and I like Harjez in this race, actually, Sam. I think Harjez hasn't been out for 160 days or so, but Paul Midgley is a fly hand at getting his horses really quickly. Harjez has been dropped down here to class 6 in a seller, Graham Lee in the saddle. He's very quick, he'll like the better ground, and I think he's in this with a winning chance to get Paul Midgley off the cold list, but get him onto the warm list quickly. Opposition? Well, there are one or two horses could go quite well. I think Mon Brave is more a 7 furlong horse, so back to 5 could be a bit tricky. Well beat at Catterick last week. The one I thought had a chance was Bedloe's Island, John Balding's horse. Has been running well on the all-weather. 2 good performances at Southall, 5th behind Showtime Star, and before that, 3rd behind Thorpe Bay. Will he perform as well on the turf? That is the question. Ben Curtis is in the saddle. Harjez will like the turf. I'm going to go for him.
Okay, Harjez then number 1 on the card in the 250, getting the nod for John there. We'll move then to the 420 at Redcar. This one is a mile handicap. It's a class 5 with 8 of them down to go to post. Then a couple of decent looking horses here, a couple of last time out winners as well, John. Who do you like the look of?
I like the look of the Godolphin's horse. I think he's a short price banker here. I do think Second Wave will be very hard to beat. Charles Appleby has had his horses in great shape throughout the winter, of course. William Buick in the saddle. And a winner here at Redcar on his only appearance. I watched that race back in the early autumn, and he beat Beach Samba really quite comfortably. So I think he's got to go pretty well here for an in-form stable. Having said that, All You has definitely got a chance. A winner last time out, the man with the magic wand, David O'Meara, trains Danny Tatopis in the saddle. Good winner at Wolverhampton from a horse of William Haggis's called Zaynar, who, you know, is no complete slouch. So could go pretty well, All You. Of the others, I thought they got to raise their game a bit. Al Rayan from Kevin Ryan's yard, fourth at Newmarket, well beat the time before. And I thought for a moment that Keith Dalglish's horse might have a chance, Go Dan Go, but actually a very poor second to odds on at Musselburgh, third time lucky. So it looks to me between the two previous winners, and I'm going to go for Godolphin and Second Wave.
All right, Second Wave then, the one for John in the 4:20 at Redcar. It's over to Kelso for the next of our races, back over the jumps. This one is a handicap chase coming up at 2:30. 2 mile, 1 furlong is the trip in this class four. 9 of them are set to contest it. Anyone jumping off the page here?
Yes, one at the bottom jumps off the page at me, Brother Scott. But so we'll talk about Rear Admiral first of all. Listeners might recall that in a podcast just before Cheltenham, the day before, I announced that Jake Greenall had said that if Rear Admiral went to Stratford on that Monday, he would win, because the horse likes going left-handed in headgear with a tongue strap, and he would make all. Well, he very nearly did, but he was just mugged by Midnight Chorister in the last sort of 100 yards or so. Had previously run well at Musselburgh. He should go well, Rear Admiral. But as I say, the horse who sticks out is the one at the bottom of the list, Brother Scott. Sue Smith trains this horse. Sean Quinlan, interesting booking to ride. And Brother Scott has reappeared once since the new year. Ran, I thought, quite a nice preparatory race at Hexham, finishing third. This is a horse who looked sure to win in the autumn for the Smith stable. Was placed here at Kelso, placed at Carlisle, placed at Sedgefield, did not win, but I think the opposition was a little bit better than it is today. So I'm going to go for Brother Scott to take the 2:30.
Okay, Brother Scott then, the one for John in the 2:30. The final race on today's podcast comes up at 4:30 at Kelso. It's the feature race of the day, really. This one's a handicap chase over 3 miles and 2 furlong. It's a class three with 10 of them in contention for this. Who do you like?
I think this is a very good race, as you say. Beeves from the Donald McCain's yard almost certainly has had a good gallop. He likes to go off in front. But the three who interest me are, first of all, Nicky Richards's good old warrior, Mr. Marker. Would have won, I'm quite convinced, today if he hadn't fallen last time out at the final fence. Was just coming back, and his stamina on the run-in, I think, would have taken him to the front again. Goes well for Joey Richards. And Joey Richards rode a tremendous race at Carlisle last week to score on a horse called Scarlet Fire, and she goes well with this horse, Mr. Marker. Has to go decently. Then we have Lord Brendley, who has been very unlucky not to win. Was last time out, was just headed at Wetherby by a horse called Cape York, who for nap purposes I rather hope wins at Market Raisin on Sunday afternoon. Surely ought to win fairly soon for the Johnson stable. And then we have my selection. I'm going to go for Full Jack. Pauline Robson trains this horse for Raymond Green and James Reevely in the saddle. Full Jack was an expensive purchase to win the Scottish National. Alas, he hasn't succeeded in doing much over jumps, but he did win a 3 mile hurdle at Musselburgh last time out. That was his best run ever since he came to Britain, and I think back over fences, Full Jack is nicely treated, and he has to have a big chance.
Okay, then Full Jack getting the pick in that 4:30. If you could just remind us, please, then, John, of your four best selections for Monday's racing from Redcar and Kelso.
Well, at Redcar, we start off there with Hard Jazz in the first of my selected races at Redcar. The second one, the 4:20, I'm going to go there for the Godolphin Horse Second Wave. At Kelso, in the 2:30, Brother Scott for Sue Smith is the choice. And in the feature race at 4:30, I begin to have a big chance with Full Jack.
Okay, there we are then. Thoughts of John Budden ahead of Monday's action. You can join John in the studio alongside Sean Quinn and James Millman from 1:30 to catch all of the action from Redcar and Kelso, as we mentioned. There's also action at Windsor and an evening card from Ireland at Tremore. So plenty to look forward to on Monday. So do join us from 1:30 for all of that. Thank you for joining me on the podcast today, John, and good luck with those bets on Monday.
Thank you very much, Tom.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.